Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you'd open up our eyes this morning to the word that you have for us. Not by my might, not by my power, but just by your spirit, Lord. Take us where you want us to go and do what you want us, do in us what you want us to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In our worship time, in the prayer time, did anybody have any interesting, I'm going to say interesting, but did you experience the presence of God? Did God, did you have any kind of encounter with the presence or power of God that was meaningful to you, or you want to share? Or because I get lost in the Spirit, and I know that I'm feeling blessed. I just want to know, what did anybody else sense God doing? Anything? Gene. All right. Mm-hmm. So God's giving you a script. That's right. Okay. There's a, God's. You just have to follow God's script. That's right. That's right. Great. That's a great plan. Carlene, what were you going to say? I saw your hand go up. Mm-hmm. Not seeking the face, not seeking the face of God. Trying to defend ourselves, trying to win a conflict, trying to be, we believe we're right, and so we want to prove ourselves to be right, instead of, you know, humility is actually being willing to be wrong, or at least be willing to be viewed as wrong. So, wow, that's awesome. Linda. Yeah, that's right. And being found in him. That's being found in him. That's right. There's actually a verse about that. Gloria. Say that again. Say what is the, say what the Lord told you about you. Say that again. Stand up and say it. Because this is a declaration. This is a declaration. This is a God gave a prophetic encouragement to you. That's also a prophetic encouragement to us. So just declare it. Whoa, glory to God. Ha! Thank you, Jesus. Did you tell her that? That's right. So she was praying for you. God's word over you that God gave her was that you were his beloved daughter. Oh, thank you, God. God, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that encouragement. Thank you for that. And by your power, Lord, just continue to let it be done. Let's do the PowerPoint now. That's a great picture. There it is. That's all right. Bum ba dum bum 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 bum. Right, so we're going to start. You know how I always start with a picture, and then I ask you to guess who it is, and or guess what it is, and then you guess, and then most of the time you're wrong. But not always. So I wanted to give you a chance today. I'm just tossing you a softball here. Okay, ready? So Betty is the feature of the sermon this morning. Not really. And she didn't expect to be here. I might have given her a little bit of a heads up, but I have to tell you a story that happened this week. And God is still writing the story. But there's some real important stuff that we need, that I feel like happened. Betty called me on Wednesday, struggling with vertigo, which has happened several times before, and went out on the prayer line. And she had a very important meeting that she had to be at on Thursday. And on Wednesday, when she was calling me, I mean, you could sit up in a chair, kind of like you're doing now, right? But you couldn't really do anything else. Have you ever struggled with vertigo and know what that feels like when you're dizzy and you're nauseous and you can't, when you try to even move and change positions, it feels like the whole room is turning upside down and you're going crazy. Just imagine that. And so Betty called and I just felt over the phone, the Holy Spirit just came on me. But I just prayed a very short prayer. It was just, and it wasn't, oh, Jesus, you know that Betty has vertigo and that she's really struggling, that she has a really important meeting at tomorrow. And Jesus, we're just hoping that you'll heal her and we're asking you to touch her. I prayed prayers like that before. And I'm trying not to pray those kind of prayers anymore. Because as I told you on Wednesday night, we have a terrible habit of using prayer to give God a pep talk. Come on, God, you can do it. 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits a dollar, all for Jesus. Stand up. Come on, God, you can do this. I'm going to give you a lecture on how and when I want you to do this. In the meantime, God is like, so are you done? Are you done? You know what Jesus told his disciples in on the Sermon on the Mount as he was teaching about the Lord's Prayer? The first thing he said, they asked him, Jesus, please show me how to pray. John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Jesus, please teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, okay, all right. But here's the first thing you need to know. God knows all your needs even before you ask. Turn around and look at somebody and says, God already knows your needs. Don't freak out. God already knows your needs. God already knows your needs, Gloria, even before you ask. God, it's not that prayer is not important, but you don't have to spend a lot of time splaining stuff to God. Because God already knows. So I absolutely agree. And Wednesday night, what we did was we worked it out before we prayed. We asked everybody. Remember, on Wednesday night, we just had everybody just go down and ask God to show you what it is that He wanted you to pray, and how He wanted you to pray for it. And then we came back and prayed. Because it is important to hear the voice of God as you start to pray, so that you don't just end up praying your own opinions, or so that your prayers don't just turn into pep talks. Jesus actually told a parable about a guy standing in a... there's teaching in Scripture about people who think that they will be, their prayers will be honored by God because they use lots of words. Loud volume and lots of words. At any rate, I digress. I was praying for Betty, and I just felt, I stopped, and I just sensed the Holy Spirit say, here's how I want you to pray. Speak to Vertigo as an entity and say, Vertigo, leave her now. In Jesus' name. Let God arise in Betty's body. Vertigo, leave in Jesus' name. And Betty, when I prayed that prayer, I noticed a reaction. I mean, I was on the phone and you were on the other end of the phone, but can you can describe what I heard. Can you describe anything? Bingo. There you go. So Betty called me on. Betty called me on Thursday and said, I'm in town. Can I just come by and give you an update? So when I prayed for her the day before, she couldn't get out of the chair. But now she's driven to town. She's gone to her meeting. Hi, I'm in the neighborhood. And we prayed and rejoiced. Because God showed up. In that prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, God showed up in that prayer. It was obvious just in the way I could hear what God was doing over the other end of the phone. On Friday, Betty woke up, vertigo came back. Now, let me tell you what most people would struggle with. What did I do to lose my healing? Why did I do something wrong? I mean, God touched me, but now it seems to have come back. And did I not have enough faith? And did I pray the wrong prayer? And what you just said is exactly the right stand of faith to take. God, you're in control. Do whatever you want to do. You're in charge. Let me tell you how this works. We step out in obedience. God does the rest. I spoke that little short prayer. God did the rest. And does that mean every time we pray, God answers it the way we want it to be answered? No. How many of you know God's plans for you for the rest of the week? All right. That's right. That's right. Yes, ma'am. God knows the plans he has for you, and they involve a future and a hope. As long as you seek him and you're trusting him. God has a plan for you. So trusting him, y'all, here's the thing. Expecting his power to show up. And just because it doesn't happen on your timetable or the way you expected doesn't mean that you're a failure. It doesn't mean that God abandoned you. It doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. So go to the next slide. I love this picture, by the way, Betty. What's this little girl's name? But you didn't hire from an ad agency or anything like this. Isn't a, no, sinister. All right, she just came up and needed an autograph. Okay, so let's start. Let's do a quick review. I go over this every week with you because I never, ever, ever want you to forget this for the rest of your life until you see Jesus face to face. In the same way that that you know you're saved if you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, and you know that salvation comes by faith in Christ, and you will never forget that, I never, ever, ever want you to forget the things that we're talking about right now. And this comes from Acts chapter 1. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power. You will receive power. Not just salvation. It's not. You will receive salvation when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's the life. In the New Testament, whenever we're talking about power, we're talking about the miraculous life of God, the miraculous life-changing power of God, the miraculous whatever. You will receive something that allows you to do things that you couldn't do on your own. And the next part of this is it says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even the remotest part of the earth, which means that everywhere you go, God is going to use you, right? Nate, wherever you are next week, God's going to use you. Anna, wherever you are on Wednesday, God is going to use you. Jonathan, God is going to use you tomorrow, wherever you are. You're going to receive power, and God is going to live through you, and he's going to use you. And next slide, we say it like this. The Holy Spirit is going to give you the ability to tell what you've experienced with miraculous results. You open your mouth. That's all you do. And mention what God's done or what God is doing or what you've learned. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit, you just open your mouth. Then the Holy Spirit shows up and he does what needs to be done. It's the Holy Spirit's power. Not Laura's power. Not either of the Patricia's power. Not Randy's power. It's the Holy Spirit's power. And he does what he wants to do. If you, as a vessel, will let him do it. Next slide. Somebody tell me what this is. That's an Ebola virus. And how is Ebola transmitted? By direct contact. Punch the button again. How does it spread? Punch the button again. When someone who is not infected comes in contact with someone who is. That's how Ebola spreads. You can't get, you have to come in direct contact. So next slide. I just love that. So what's this? Open up, punch buttons. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. Punch button again. How does the kingdom of God spread? Punch the button again. When someone who is infected with the Holy Spirit comes in contact with someone who isn't. It's not that I'm a brilliant conversationalist and you say, well, that was really inspiring. You've changed my mind. No, it's not that I'm a great speaker. It's that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I come in contact with Laura. The Holy Spirit touches Laura. The Holy Spirit does whatever needs to be done in Laura. When someone who has the Holy Spirit comes in contact with someone who doesn't, the kingdom of God has an opportunity to break through. Not because of anything you know how to do instinctively. It's what God does with you. Next. This is just will just remind you that Paul said, I didn't actually give a lot of thought to preaching fancy sermons. How many of you've heard really fantastic sermons by fantastic pastors, and you think, "Wow, I want to listen to that the rest of my life. That was life changing. That was brilliant. I've never heard somebody preach a sermon like that before." There are people who spend hours and hours and hours trying to organize their sermons. But you can preach a very powerful, entertaining sermon and not change anybody's life. Paul said, I kept my message simple. I just want to tell you about Jesus, and then I want the Holy Spirit to show up. Because I want your faith to rest on the wisdom of men, not on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. I want your faith to rest on the power of God. How many of you can say right now, my faith rests on the power of God? My faith rests on the fact that I have encountered the power of God in my life, and I know because I know because I know because I know that He's real and it's real. And even though I can't explain everything about it and I can't give you all the Bible verses, I know that it's real because I've had an encounter with God that has touched me and changed me. My faith isn't in what Jackie says, because half the time I can't even understand what he says because he's going too fast. My faith isn't in some book that I read, written by a famous pastor. My faith is in the fact that I had an encounter with the living God that's touched me and changed me. That's the only thing that makes any difference. Next slide. Last week we talked about the fact that Peter and John, after they healed the lame man on the way to the temple, and the lame man was healed, a crowd showed up, they preached, 5,000 people got saved, and the reward for preaching a sermon, for healing a lame man, and for having 5,000 people get saved, what was their reward? They got arrested. Go to jail, go straight to jail, do not pass go, do not collect 200 shekels. They were arrested by the temple guards, who were under the direct control of the Sanhedrin, not even the Roman guards, and they were dragged up. And the temple ruler said, "Listen, stop doing this. Stop talking about Jesus. Stop speaking the name of Jesus. Stop it, stop it, stop it." And they kind of threw a little temper tantrum. It was like, "Don't do this anymore. Stop it." And Peter and John, whether or not we should do what God tells us to do, you be the judge. All we know is this: we can't stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. We can't stop speaking about what we've seen. We can't not tell people about Jesus, because we've encountered Him. We've encountered His power. He's changed my life. I can't not talk about Him. Next slide. Now here we are. This is the new verse today. And this, I've read the book of Acts many times. I've preached it many times. I'm reading it like I've never seen it before. The whole book of Acts so far has just been one rhema experience for me, of seeing things in a different way. But this is the best. So they were warned not to talk about Jesus anymore. They were turned loose, and now they've gone back to the home base, wherever their home base was by this time, to meet with the rest of the Christians in Jerusalem. When they had been released, they went to their own companions, and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Basically, don't talk about Jesus anymore. Don't tell people about Jesus anymore. And when they heard this is highlighted for a really important reason. When they heard this, the entire church, When they heard this, when they heard the news that they were being threatened, when they heard the news that they were facing a challenge, when they heard the news that something was coming against them, when they heard this, they lifted their voice to God with one accord and started praying. They all fell on their face and as a whole church started praying. They didn't say, oh my goodness, we need to make a plan. Oh my goodness, hurry up, lock the doors. Oh my goodness, where are our swords and our slingshots? Oh my goodness, we've got to get bus tickets and get out of town. They hit their faces and they started praying. And they actually started with a quote from the Old Testament, which we're going to blast through. It's interesting, but I don't want to spend any time on it. O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand. The rulers were all gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. So now they're quoting more stuff and from the Old Testament. But now, here in this section, they're bringing it back down to the personal level. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Now this, we could stop and talk a long time about this, but I just want to say this. They said, a lot of bad stuff is happening. A lot of bad stuff is coming against us. Whatever. Whatever. What you're in charge. See, that's Betty's and Gary's prayer again. All these people have come against us. All these bad people, they're threatening us to do whatever your hand and your purpose has predestined to occur. God, you're in charge. We're not even going to agonize over what's going with all that stuff because you're in charge, and we know that you are going to bring it all together for a purpose. Something is going on here. We don't understand it all. For a purpose, we are trusting you. We're not even going to think. They didn't. This is so powerful. When you see the next slide, you'll know. They didn't pray, oh God, please make them stop. Oh God, please strike them all blind. Oh God, please have their 401ks all crash. Oh God, please get even with them. Oh God, please protect us from all those mean people out there. Oh God, they're being mean to us. Please make them stop. They said, whatever. God, you're in charge. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. We're not going to obsess about that. Here's what they prayed. Look at this. I just love this. So now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Lord, all we want is to continue to be able to tell people about Jesus so that your Holy Spirit will show up and give people power encounters with God. This is not about us. It's never been about us. God, we just want to keep on speaking the name of Jesus so that you can show up and signs and wonders can take place. You can heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, what have we been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks? You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, right? And you'll be my witnesses. And Paul said, I don't even want to preach fancy sermons. I just want to tell people about Jesus so the power of God can show up. So if you think that I've just been making up something new that's never been in the Bible before, that the whole point of the Christian life is to be filled with power and simply just live out your life for Jesus so the Holy Spirit can show up and have power encounters with people, there it is. Lord, all we want to do is speak your word with confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. That's the goal. This is the battle plan. This is the goal, that we speak the name of Jesus, we tell his story, and the Holy Spirit shows up with power, however he wants to show up, and changes people's lives. Do you see that? Do you see that up there? Do you see that plan? Is this complicated? Does this even involve a tract? Does this involve anything except, let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life? Boom. And then the Holy Spirit shows up. Can I pray for you? Boom. The Holy Spirit shows up and touches their hearts. Boom. God moves. God moves. So anyhow, here's the blue line is best. And when they had prayed, look at this. Imagine this. Put yourself as if you're in this room. And when they prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, because they'd all been filled with the Holy Spirit before. But now a fresh wave of the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Even more boldness. They had already received the Holy Spirit. Most of these people have been baptized by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1. We're only in Acts chapter 4. The Holy Spirit falls on them again with more power, with even more power and boldness. And they went out and just started telling people about Jesus and didn't give the threats that had been made against them by the rulers a second thought. The power of God hit them, and out the door they went. That's right. Glory to God. That's right. Amen. And this all bubbled up. This is what I want you to see. This all bubbled up when the entire church came together and sought God together under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God showed up and began to guide them in a super powerful prayer, a life-changing, super powerful prayer. And all the stuff that we've been talking about on Wednesday nights in terms of the practice is actually leading up to this kind of an experience, where we come together as a church and begin to pray with this power and authority. But there's steps that we've been working up to. But this is the picture. This is God's battle plan, and this is the picture of how it gets activated when the church comes together and just says, devil, whatever. You can't stop me from speaking what I've seen and heard. You can't stop me from experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't stop me from being a conduit of the power of God everywhere I go. Now I'm going to show you. Let's see. Do I want to go to this next slide? Don't go yet. I got a revelation kind of just for me this week. I've been in ministry a long time. I've pastored a pretty big church, pastored in a church that's not as big. But I spend a lot of time with pastors. And here's what I know. When pastors start to pray that God would help their churches grow, and all pastors struggle with that. And when they're praying for the Holy Spirit to come and give our church the ability to touch people for Jesus, and they're praying for all the right reasons, the pastors have a way of visualizing what it's going to be like as God shows up. God's going to show up, and one of these days we're going to have three services. One of these days, there's not going to be any place to park. One of these days, every seat's going to be full. We're going to have to broadcast back in the foyer, closed-circuit TV. One of these days, we're going to just see people everywhere. And the rafters are going to be jammed. It's going to be glorious. I'm not saying that doesn't happen sometimes, but that's not what I'm praying. Yes, ma'am? That's what we all envision. That's what it's normal to envision that. the day when we have to use a shoehorn to get people in here, that's how we'll know that we're successful, is when the Holy Spirit sends so many people that we have to have multiple services and we squeeze people in. That's how we'll know we're getting it right. Now, and God has changed my perspective on this. All right? Now I'm going to show you a picture. Make this. All right. Can anybody tell me what you're looking at? This is the AT&T Stadium in Dallas. The picture was taken end of May. This is the U2 concert, the U2 tour. And there are like more than 150,000 people, about 150,000 people there. The point I'm making is that what God did, my vision is now not about filling up one church. My vision is about seeing Granite Shoals changed. My vision is to see so many people touched and changed by Jesus that you can't put them in a building. My vision isn't about, Lord, we'll know that revival has come when our church is full on Sunday. Or Lord, for the Baptists, we'll know that revival has come when the Baptist church is full. Or even, Lord, we'll know that revival has come to Granite Shoals because attendance in all the churches is up. We will know that the power of God has come to Granite Shoals when it just spreads everywhere. When the Holy Spirit is touching so many people, it's happening every day. And they're talking about it to each other all the time. And families are being healed and united. And people are being, their bodies are being healed. And their relationships are being healed. And their spirit has been are being renewed, and they're all following you, and they're all celebrating you. And it's not even about getting people in a building anymore. It's about an entire community that's been changed. These people in Acts chapter 4, they weren't trying to get people to squeeze into the upper room or wherever it was they were meeting by then. They were just out in the community carrying the Holy Spirit in ways that touched people's lives. They didn't have, oh, God, please bless us so that we can have more people squeezed into this room. They were just desperate, urgent for the Spirit of God to touch the city and touch the whole world. So I'm done with visualizing what it's going to be like when the room is full. Because we could fill this whole room and not put a dent in the need of the city of Granite Shoals. What my vision is now to see the entire city healed and delivered and transformed. Good gummit. You know where most of the church growth comes these days in Burnett County? You know how most churches grow? By trading members with everybody else. A new church starts, comes in church, and people say, ooh, maybe that church is better than the one I'm in now. Let's go check that out. I'm not saying that that all those churches don't also have a vision for evangelism and trying to reach new people for Jesus. But most of the time, most of the growth comes from people moving back and forth between churches. And I promise you this, there's not a pastor in this area that wouldn't, they certainly wouldn't disagree with this vision. Amen. That's our vision too. We want to see all of Marble Falls. We want to see all of Burnett County change. We'll all get on board with that vision. But most of the time when pastors pray, they don't pray that way. They pray, Lord, fill up my pews. Lord, fill up my parking lot. Just give me grace to reach these people. And obviously, when the Holy Spirit starts to move, it's going to fill up church buildings. But we can't stop there. We can't expect that that's the end game. It's like, well, that our church building is, let's build a new building. That church building is full. Let's build a new building. Anyhow, I'm going to stop on that rant and just say this. All God wants, all God intends to do, God's plan for battle is to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You all have power because the Holy Spirit has filled you. And all he wants to do is kind of aim you like a bucket or a water gun full of the Holy Spirit and squirt the Holy Spirit on other people that come in contact with you. Usually that comes opening your mouth, being obedient in some way. And he will use your obedience to touch people's lives. And sometimes you just speak in the name of Jesus to vertigo and it goes. Sometimes you pray that prayer and God does something different. But everything that happens after you speak, everything that happens after you open your mouth is God's job and not yours. It's his power, not your power. And it's his plan, not your plan. But you have to be obedient. And when you open your mouth, or you take that step of faith and pray or speak or act in obedience to God, you do it expecting the Holy Spirit to show up with whatever it is that he has ordained to happen. Are we on board? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. I may never be able to get past this verse. Let's pray. Lord, continue to change us. Continue to rearrange us. Continue to deliver us. Continue to teach us. Continue to revive us. Lord, we're not sure we've actually encountered revival yet. Make us ready for revival. Send your power. Send your power. Send your power. Send your power. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, once again, as we are contemplating these elements, we can't help but make the transition of acknowledging your love and your compassion for us and the extents that you've gone. Jesus, we're reminded of, again, on the night you were betrayed, you took bread and you broke it and you said, "This is my body." And then you took the cup and you said, "Drink it. This is a new covenant in my blood." And as often as you do, also we'll show your death until you come. And so we do it in your name, showing your death until you come. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.